In that case, let's grab our hymnals and open up to hymn 74. No, not until I start preaching, because Dennis said, because of the time space on YouTube, it's best just to put the preaching alone on it. So, but good question. 74, let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning at Calvary, amen? Amen. That's where my burdened soul found liberty. Oh, yeah. At Calvary. Hymn 74. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second. Please be seated, church. Oh, great singing this morning. Yes, indeed. Oh, at Calvary. Where would we be if it wasn't for Calvary? Wow. We'd all be lost without a hope of making heaven our home. But praise be to God, he went to Calvary and he finished it. I'm so glad he did what we could never do. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9 in one hand, and get over to Matthew chapter 4 in the other hand, and with the other hand, oh, never mind. Isaiah 9 and Matthew 4. I've got a message this morning that I want to bring concerning a certain light. Look with me in Isaiah chapter number 9. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word in Isaiah chapter 9. Look with me at verse number 2. Verse number 1, he names a few towns and regions within the land of Israel. In verse 2, the prophet says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now this is a prophecy, beloved, of a great light that would come into the world. Flip over to Matthew chapter 4. And look with me in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 16. Again, he names the land of Zebulun, Naphtalim, by the way of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Here in Matthew 4, verse 16, we have the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, verse 2. The light of Jesus Christ came to the land of Israel. Amen? To the shadow of death, to the gross darkness, the light shined. This morning I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, The Lighthouse. The Lighthouse. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the great lighthouse that is shining into this world of darkness. Lord, how we thank you that that lighthouse has shined in our hearts and that we are to give the light of that knowledge of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that there is a light to deliver us from darkness. There is a light to guide us like a great lighthouse all the way to the shores of heaven. Father, we thank you for sending that light into the world and that souls are still being saved by that light. We ask your blessings upon your holy word this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, on the outer banks of North Carolina lies the most dangerous stretch of ocean in the entire eastern seaboard. Over the past 400 years, over 300 ships have been lost in this area. It's called the Graveyard of the Atlantic. It's the Diamond Shoals, it's called. The problem is, it's a 14-mile stretch of sandbar that is constantly shifting. That's Diamond Shoals. And because of the shifting of the sand, the depth of the water varies. And as a result, we've had hundreds of shipwrecks here in this particular area. Now, recognizing the great need in this area, the government constructed a lighthouse on Cape Hatteras in the year 1870. It's the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. It's the most famous lighthouse in America because it's the biggest of all. Now listen, by day, the navigators could tell where they were on the coast by the unique painting and design of the lighthouse. By night, they could tell which lighthouse it was by the frequency of the flash. This lighthouse was unmistakable. It was unlike any other lighthouse. Now, I want to give you four things about this lighthouse this morning, and I'll be done. First, I want us to look at the lighthouse itself. Then we're going to look at the light of the lighthouse. Then we're going to look at the gatekeeper, the lighthouse keeper. And finally, there's something else about this lighthouse I'll need to show you, very important. But first, notice the lighthouse itself. The Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is a massive structure. It's the largest lighthouse in the United States. It stands 208 feet tall. It has 48-inch thick walls. It took 1,252,000 bricks in order to construct it. And there are 248 cast iron steps up to the light. Now, many will recognize the familiar black and white candy stripe design on the exterior. It's huge. And so too, beloved, there is a great lighthouse in the world today. Amen. Because this world is a place of darkness. And I'm here to tell you that without the light, we're all lost. Without the lighthouse shining, we don't know our way. We don't know the path to safety. We're in dangerous shipwreck without this great lighthouse I'm talking about this morning. Now, the purpose of this lighthouse, the Cape Hatteras, is to project light to save lives and property. Let me repeat that. Come, you didn't hear me. The purpose of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is to project light in order to save lives and property. And the purpose of the great lighthouse of Jesus Christ today is to save lives. Amen? To save them forever. What a symbol this great lighthouse represents in Cape Hatteras. This world is a dark and dangerous place. And listen, folks, the purpose of a church is to project the light into the darkness of this world. Did you hear what I said, church? The purpose of this church is to project the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness of this world. Beloved, we must never, forever forget our purpose. Listen now. Our purpose is not primarily social. Our purpose is not saving the homeless, the starving, the third world countries, the dysfunctional, the abused, or the trees or the whales. Our purpose isn't any of those. Our purpose, listen, Jesus left no question about what our purpose as a church is. Listen to me. The soul is more important than the body and eternity and time. Who is better off? Lazarus, a poor man in heaven, or the rich man burning in hell? Matthew 16, 26, don't turn there. Jesus said, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is saying, once you've died without me and you go to hell, there's nothing you can give to escape its flames. How horrific a thought is that? They rejected the light while on earth, and now they're in darkness with nothing to get them out. Oh, how sad. Beloved, we have a purpose, and the supreme purpose of this church is to send the light of the gospel. Amen? It's to send the light of Jesus Christ to the ends of this earth. That's the purpose of this church. If it's not, you've got a social club. You've got a bowling league. You've got a group that gathers together for fun and jokes. No, we have a divine purpose, a mandate from God to spread the light of the gospel. Now, we sing, send the light. Amen? Send the light, send the light. Listen, we need to send that light till our dying day. We need to keep on sending it and sending more of it. Because this world needs it more today than ever before. Go to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, watch what the apostle says here in Acts chapter 13 about this light. In Acts 13, look with me at verse 44. Don't miss this. In verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a what?
Light.
Light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Paul says we have a divine command to shine his light to the ends of the world. Amen? Paul says this is our purpose. We need to tell the world there is a Savior that loves you. He is the light of the world, and if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness. Listen, we must never be satisfied with what we've done. We must expect more. We must pray for more souls. We must plow the fields, amen, and scatter the good seed of the Lord. We must throw the net of the gospel out, catch from every kind, throw back none, but keep them all for Jesus Christ. This lighthouse is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, and we have a divine purpose. I'm so thankful. But something else concerning this lighthouse. I want us to consider the light of the lighthouse. The light of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is extremely bright. Listen, the skillful use of prisms made it possible to focus the mirror and intensify and project the light to far greater distances. Originally, whale oil fueled the all-night flame, 46 gallons a night. Later on, oil vapor. Then electricity came along, and a number of 1,000-watt bulbs with 800,000 candle power became the light. This light of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse was visible for over 50 miles at sea. The only reason it was lost, the light, was because of the curvature of the earth after 50 miles. Now listen, in every direction, the light could be seen. Are you listening? The light flashed at Cape Hatteras every 7.5 seconds, signifying which light it was. You can't follow just any old light. You need the right one. Amen? Now listen, the light flashed every 7.5 seconds. Now, that was a great light. But Jesus is the greatest light that's ever come into this world. Amen? He said, I am the light of the world. He or she that followeth me shall not abide in darkness. Now, the gospel is called the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen to me. The devil doesn't want this light to shine. The devil doesn't want you to give it out. The devil wants to cover it under a bushel. The devil doesn't want it to go out from this church or from your life. This light, he knows it's dangerous. Because this light snatches souls out of his clutch. This light brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm so thankful for this light. Go to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, watch what the Lord says about it. In Luke chapter 8, look with me in verse 16. Luke 8 and verse 16. Jesus says, words in red. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Jesus says, hey, when you light a candle, you want it to someone to see that light. Amen? And something else about that light. That light will enable you to see through the darkness. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that light today. I'm so thankful that it is the light of the world. And that light brings immortality to us. Now, the church is the lighthouse. Jesus Christ is the light of the lighthouse. But thirdly this morning, I want you to notice the lighthouse keeper. Who is the lighthouse keeper? Think with me, church. Our mission, at any cost, is to keep the light burning. Do you realize if that light went out in the lighthouse, that ships at sea, with at times hundreds of sailors, could have been lost, could have been smashed on those rocks at Diamond Shoals and sunk and they all drowned? It happened many times, folks. But this particular lighthouse at Cape Hatteras was constructed in 1870. I think it set the world record because the light didn't go out for 132 years until in 1999 when that lighthouse was converted. They converted the light to some kind of incandescent. They converted it. They had to shut it off for 5 minutes while they did that. But it had shown without going out for 100-something years. Imagine, the lighthouse keeper, his duty was to clean, maintain, and repair the light and the lighthouse when needed. I'm so glad I've got a lighthouse keeper. I'm so glad he does a good job at keeping us clean, amen, and repaired and functional, the lighthouse keeper. Oh, the lighthouse keeper knows what he's doing. He does a fine job of it too. Much better than I ever could. Listen, his responsibility, the lighthouse keeper, if the flame burnt low, the lenses got dirty, or the wick needed trimming, was to do whatever was necessary to keep that light glowing. That was his job. That was his one function in life. The first keeper, Adam Gaskins, in the year 1870, was the first lighthouse keeper. He earned annually $333. That's less than a dollar a day, plus home, room, and board. Now listen, he worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He never had a day off. The lighthouse burned for 129 years, which is 47,000 nights consecutively. The keeper was first called the keeper of the flame. The keeper of the flame? Church, we need to keep the flame of the light of the gospel burning. Amen? Amen? We got to keep it going forth from this church. We got to keep it shining into the darkness. We've got to keep it dispelling the works of the devil. Listen now. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 1. In Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to the Apostle John in his glory. And watch what Paul sees and hears the Lord say in Revelation chapter 1. Look with me at verse 16. In verse 16, he sees the Lord, and he had in his right hand 7 stars. Remember that. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know what's coming from his face? Light. Brighter than the sun. This is Jesus. Listen. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the what?
7 churches.
7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Beloved, listen carefully to the Lord Jesus Christ here. He's saying that my light is shining through my churches. My light is dispelling the darkness through my people. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are so important to God. You are a vessel. You are an instrument through whom the Lord Jesus Christ shines his light. Oh, beloved, we have an awesome responsibility this morning to shine that light. I like the Sunday school song. Sydney sings, I'm this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, church, how we need to follow that song. How we need to let that light shine through our lives. Amen? How we need to allow the Spirit of God to dispel the darkness in our hearts so that His light can be shining through. I want to get out of the way. And I want to let Jesus do what he wants to do through me. How about you? Oh, beloved, you've got the light. The question is, are you shining it? Are you busily involved, actively engaged in letting that light shine out to those around you? How we need to shine this light into the world. Oh, how we need to keep the flame of the gospel burning and shining in the darkness. Listen to me. The darker the night, the greater the need for the light. And beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that it's getting mighty dark in this world. It's getting so dark you can almost cut it with a knife. I'm to the point where I almost can't take it no more. I need to just bury my nose in this Bible and get on my knees before God and say, Lord, I don't want to hear the CNN evil news of what they're doing. It's just vexatious. It's darkness. It's evil, and we need to shine His light. Beloved, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Amen? Listen, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Watch what Jesus Christ says about this light. In Matthew chapter 5, serious message this morning concerning this glorious light shining through our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm glad we're not playing church here, but we believe in the truth of the gospel. That it saves souls from the guttermost to the uttermost. In Matthew 5, look at verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus says, ye are the what?
Light.
Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little excited here. Jesus pointed to his disciples and said, ye are the light of the world. Wow! You mean, Jesus, your light is shining in me and through me as a conduit, as an instrument, as a tool in your hand? That's right. Look at it. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. You can't hide that light. It's got to come out. Amen, ladies? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Why, Jesus? It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, let your light shine, church. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's no time left. If you're ever going to shine for Jesus, you best do it now. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you, you need to pull out all the stops and say, Lord, I'm letting go of my own will and my own life, and I'm letting you take over. I'm going to let your light shine through me like never before. Amen? In these last days, we want to be full of that light shining through us. Listen to me, the lighthouse keeper had the most important job of all. He had to keep the light burning. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to extinguish your light. He wants to get you depressed. He wants to get you discouraged. He wants to get you defeated. And he's doing a pretty good job, folks. Because I talk to Christians all over the place today that are just disgruntled. They're just tired. They're just weary. They're fainting. They're passing out spiritually, quitting on God, quitting serving God, quitting letting that light shine. Folks, this is no time to throw in the towel. We need to let it shine. Oh, how we need to let it shine. But there's one more thing I want you to see this morning before I finish concerning the lighthouse. I want you to see the moving of the lighthouse. Yes, I said the moving of the lighthouse. Some of you may not know this, but listen. Originally, the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse was 1,500 feet inland from the shore. Erosion had brought the water within 150 feet of it. It was in danger of going under. So they decided to move the lighthouse. I hope someone's listening. They moved it 2,900 feet southwest and 1,600 feet inland. In 1999, it was in all the papers. They moved the lighthouse. The International Chimney Corporation of Brooklyn, New York did the moving. They have a saying, if you can build it, we can move it for the right price. Yeah, it cost $12.5 million to move that lighthouse, but the government paid for it. They jacked it up. Listen, Kyle, you'll appreciate this. They jacked up this massive lighthouse. The tonnage was unmeasurable. Listen, they jacked it up and they put it on rail tracks, and they built a railroad tracks to its new location. People from miles around came and camped out to watch them move the lighthouse. But at 2 to 3 feet a day, they all got bored and went home. They all got tired of, no action. They all left, you know. But the lighthouse was still moving. Listen to me. Why? Because you couldn't really tell it was moving at all. But it was. Folks, listen to me. The churches of Jesus Christ today are moving. They're sliding back. They're giving up on the pure word of God, the King James Bible. They're cashing in the old anointed hymns of the faith for some rock and roll music. They're giving up. They're giving up on separation from the world. And they're moving. The churches are moving, but not for the good. They're moving away from the light of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. This lighthouse moved 1,600 feet. They moved it three things happened. I'll finish with this. Three things happened when they moved the lighthouse. First, they changed its purpose. They changed the purpose of the lighthouse. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to see something about this light. I understand the Pope is coming. Yes. Have you got your tickets yet? I don't think so. Because he's not preaching the gospel. Look at it. In 2 Corinthians 4, look with me at verse 4. It says, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world. Now somebody tell me.
is the God of this world a God of light or a God of darkness? That's right. The small g, God of this world, is the devil, and he's full of darkness. That means evil. Look at, the God of this world has blinded the minds. There's where the problem is. Of them which believe not, lest the what?
Light
of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice the last four words. Should shine unto them. Should. Amen? It's not because of the devil, but it's supposed to. Now look at this. Verse 5, Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." We have one message, the light of the world, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Why, Paul? For God who commanded. It's not an option, church. It's a command. The light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts. You're a lighthouse. To give the what? Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the purpose of the church. But they changed its purpose. Let me tell you why. The Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, since 1999, is now a park and a museum. It's a tourist attraction. People go there to admire it, to enjoy it, and learn about it. But no one is saved by it anymore. Listen to me. The light is gone out. The light is gone out. It doesn't shine no more. It doesn't guide weary sailors at sea. Listen, they go to admire it. But churches, life-saving stations, can become museums. Tourist attractions. That's because if a church moves away from its original purpose, it becomes nothing more than a museum. Dead mausoleum. Go and look at the stained glass window and look at the statues and the marble structures and the golden altar and the cups and all this nonsense that can't save a dead dog. Folks, we need to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. Before it's too late. Three things happen. First, they change the purpose of the lighthouse. Listen, David Mober, he wrote the book, Socialized Cycle of Church Growth. Socialized Cycle of Church Growth. Churches start with a sincere desire to save sinners, or to that effect. But as they become more established, they forget their original purpose. Let me repeat that. Dave Mober said, churches start with a sincere desire to save sinners. But as they become more established, grow, they forget their original purpose. Hey, I'm thinking of this guy on TV, and he gets up there and he's smiling, grinning, Andy, I've got the biggest church in America, but he won't preach the gospel. How sad is that? He's got the biggest church in America, and he won't mention the word sin. He won't mention the blood. He won't mention the gospel. Biggest church in America. You know what he did? He forgot his original purpose for the church. Up and down the coastlines of the East Coast, there are yacht clubs in every city. They started out as rescue stations. Through the years, they found out it was more fun to socialize than to rescue. They forgot their purpose. And all across America, beloved, there are churches that no longer preach the gospel because they've lost their way. They forgot their purpose. Ichabod, the glory is departed. How sad. The devil's having a field day, folks. But you and I, we need to stay faithful. We need to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We need to keep on preaching the truth of Jesus Christ and his light before it's too late. Go to Romans chapter 13. Something else. Three things happened when they moved the lighthouse. First, they missed the original purpose. They changed its purpose. In Romans chapter 13, look with me in Romans chapter 13, because the second thing they did, the lighthouse at Cape Hatteras no longer provides guidance. It no longer provides guidance. In Romans 13, look with me at verse 11. Talking to the church. And that knowing the time. Folks, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Time to look at it. Time to wake up. That knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He's coming back, folks. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of what?
Light.
Let's be clothed with the light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what he's saying? He's saying let the light of Jesus shine through your life and cast off all that darkness of sin and let his light be the strength of your life. Others will see it. Others will be drawn to it. I guarantee. But folks, it no longer provided guidance. It no longer provided guidance for weary travelers. For 130 years, that lighthouse safely guided ships home to port. But today, it doesn't even burn a single candle. It no longer shows the way. It no longer shows the way. How many churches today are nothing more than social clubs? Just gathering places, you know. They focus more on the church breakfast than on the church sermon. You know, let's go stuff our face with pancakes. Never mind about the preacher, you know. Man, folks, we need to get serious today. The lighthouse doesn't guide anybody. Thirdly, something else happened when they moved the lighthouse. Thirdly and finally, the original problem still exists. Listen to me. Diamond Shoals is still a 14-mile shifting sandbar off the coast of North Carolina. It is still called the graveyard of the Atlantic. And listen to me. The same problem of ships wrecking on the Cape still exists today. This reminds me of a dangerous world we live in. It's constantly changing. Amen? Ships of people's lives are still being wrecked by sin and the devil. Did you hear what I said? The ships of people's lives, folks, all around us are being destroyed. Do you care this morning? Folks, if you care, you're going to let your light shine like never before. What's this all mean to us? Listen, it's okay to innovate. It's okay to modernize. It's okay to start new programs and ministries. But our purpose must never change. We must continue to carry the torch of the gospel. Preach the new birth. Seeing souls saved and discipled. We must keep promoting evangelism, Bible doctrine, missions, building people up, soul winning. Why? Because we're a lighthouse. And we must remain shining that light that the Lord gave us to shine. Go to Revelation chapter 21. We'll finish up here. In Revelation chapter 21, I want you to see this morning, beloved, that shining that light, you'll be eternally grateful for having done it. You will be eternally grateful for having shown it. Look in Revelation chapter 21. Look at me at verse 10. John writes, "And he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her what? Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Drop down to verse 21. He sees the foundations of the city. He sees the walls of the city. And then in verse 21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl." Try wearing one of those, ladies. "And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Folks, listen to me. The very same light that is shining in the darkness of this world right now through you and you and you and you is going to shine forever in heaven. Because look at verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, folks, if you don't like shining His light now, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because heaven is full of the light of the Lamb. I'm so thankful this morning that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can only feel at home in the presence of the light of the Lamb. That light you will enjoy forever and ever. I want you to think about this in closing, church. The light of Jesus Christ that you have in you will shine through you throughout eternity in heaven. Because verse 23 says clearly that the Lamb is the light thereof. And that's not all. 24. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Folks, I've got good news in closing this morning, church. You are going to shine, and you are going to shine forever as an eternal trophy of the Lamb. Because whenever anybody in the universe asks you how you got to heaven, you're going to point to the Lamb and say, He did it. He did it. It was His light that drew me. And it was His light that guided me all the way to the golden shores. Beloved, I've told the story before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, I was going through Bible college in 1988 through 1992. And one day I decided to visit this church. It was a famous church in New York, Baptist Temple. I'm not going to name the city or the name of the church, but I went there, Baptist, Bible-believing Baptist church, and I went there on a Sunday morning. The church seated 550. There were 14 people in the service. Sunday morning, 14 people. Most of them were the preacher's family. After the service, the preacher came over. He said, "Oh, good to meet you, Brother Oliver. Let me give you a tour of the church." He took me up in the balcony. He showed me the Sunday school rooms. He showed me they had a parsonage. They had a Christian school. They had it all. But they didn't have any people. And I said, "Where are the people?" And he said to me, "Well, you know, a lot of people just left the church for no reason, just gossip and whatnot. And he said, "You know, brother," he said, "we used to have standing room only in this church." He said, "One Sunday morning, we had 600 people in this church." I said, "What happened? Why? What happened?" He said, "Ah, they just left." Well, later I found out from a guy who used to go there, whose sister the pastor slept with. I kid you not. Ichabod, the glory is departed. The preacher had been sleeping with various women in the congregation. He fathered 6 of them. I kid you not, folks. Baptist, Bible-believing church. You know what's happening? The lighthouse is moving. The lighthouse is moving. The light is quenched, and the devil's having a field day. But as long as I'm pastor of this church, the light is going to shine into the darkness. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. How sad that story in closing, Lord. It was a great lighthouse at one time for Jesus Christ, but sin put the light out. Lord, this morning we need to recognize that sin is the only thing that can quench the light of Jesus Christ, and therefore we need to flee from it with all speed. Lord, I pray this morning that every member of this church would come to the point of full resignation, knowing that the time is far spent, the day is at hand, the Lord is at the door and knocking. Oh, Father, we need to be ready more than ever before. Your return is imminent. The trumpet could blow before I finish this prayer. So, Father, search our hearts this morning and help us, Lord, to make a resolution today that I am going to let the light of Jesus Christ shine first in my heart and then through my life to others. Lord, Help us to make that decision and help us to mean it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn this morning. We'll stand for a time of invitation. And let's open up to hymn number 189. 259. Whew. Got a little worked up this morning. In 259, revive us again. This is what he specializes in, amen?
You're a little burned up because you're
going to
be the light on YouTube.
Amen. We'll sing all four. Church, praise the Lord that He does revive us whenever we need it. Glory to God. Tonight at 6, if you can join us, our 8th mystery. Tonight is our 8th mystery, and Lord willing, we'll finish the series tonight. Brother Carl, if you could dismiss us in prayer and traveling mercies for all, and love you all. What a blessing. Thank you for putting up with this loudmouth Baptist preacher. Brother Carl.
Father, we thank you so much that we can gather in your name. We can study your word, Lord. We have a preacher that's not afraid to preach the word as it's written, Lord, in full truth without any alterations. We thank you, Lord, for the message you gave us this morning. And now we pray, Lord, that you keep each of us a beacon and a light that shines forth from this little church here in Hudson, Lord, and every home that we journey upward to. We pray, Lord, you'd be with us, you'd guide us, you'd keep us safe, and bring us back this evening. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.